Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
We could take up the whole service, you know, just for them to sing to the Lord. I'm sure we could be fed, amen? The important thing is not learning the song and all the words and everything. It's important to find the true anointing, amen? And to truly connect with the song that they're doing. A lot of times when we'll be learning one or putting one together, I'll just, you know, stop it and ask them, you know, if one's singing this verse or another this verse, you know, what connects with you? What do you feel you can, how do you feel you connect with this song? And what do you think this means to you? And what do you think this verse is saying? And a lot of times, I'm sure they'd agree that when they stop and think about what they're actually saying or singing, that they can a lot of times just click right with the anointing just immediately, because they know, you know, that there's a praise coming from this song. And I believe any song we ever sing should be anointed, amen? So you can sit back and worship the Lord with them.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Worship His holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, worship His holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. Worship His holy my time has come, for soon my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, worship His holy name.
give the Lord a hand. Amen. Reasons. Amen. Can you think of 10,000 reasons why to praise the Lord? Might take me a little while, but I guarantee I can. Amen. How many knows the Lord's good tonight? Amen. Let's all stand together. We'll do that song, How Great Thou Art. If you'd all stand together, how many wants to worship the Lord tonight? And let's prepare our hearts for hearing of the word. Amen.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my shouts of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great.
Wonderful, isn't it? You're singing a song to a mighty great God. Amen. And I tell you, I appreciate the youth. Amen. Let's give them a hand this evening. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's a real important need that you and I have to worship the Lord. Amen. Let's pray together before we go into the scriptures this evening. I'm thankful to be in the house of God. Amen. Thankful that I have a part in the kingdom of God. You know, a lot of people read the word of God and they think about the kingdom of God and feel like they're separated from the kingdom of God. And they think, well, maybe someday I can enter into the kingdom. Maybe someday I'll be partakers with the kingdom. And it's a lack of doctrine, a lack of being taught, a lack of learning. Brothers and sisters, we got to understand that we are and in us and coming through us and out of us and everything of the kingdom of God. And not, you say, well, I think a kingdom is a dwelling place. And I say, yeah and amen. We're dwelling in the secret chambers of the Most High God. We're in the kingdom, amen. You know, the sad thing is we try to understand some of the awesome things of God with an intellectual concept, with a finite mind of human reasoning. And we think, well, you know, I know that this empire and this kingdom and the things of God are so far beyond your mental capacity to conceive or understand or comprehend it. You'll never do it in the carnal mind. You'll never do it looking at the shadows. Just for comparison's sake, we know that this world is a shadow, honestly, of the true kingdom. You know, the Bible talks about the kingdom without observation. So right now in your intellectual state, this kingdom is without observation. This is a shadow. Now, if I went and bought a brand new car and I drove it out here in the parking lot and I said, come here. And I said, no, don't look over here. I want you to look at the shadow on the ground. I want you to tell me about my car. And there'd be some things you might be able to say, but you're getting a glimpse. Think about when you actually look at the object and when you actually look at the car and you say, wow, that thing is really beautiful. And the thing is we get a glimpse, we might say, through the carnal concepts of understanding or through looking at the things which appear. But let me tell you something, there's a way to really see into the kingdom today and understand and perceive. And it's through that singular eye of the revelational mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And then all of a sudden you learn to see the invisible. And it's seeing you think, well, you know, the invisible things don't thrill me. The invisible things are the eternal things, brethren. These things that you see, if these things thrill you, this is the temporal things. And this keeps many people from inheriting the kingdom and really comprehending. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to be in the house of God. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that we have a concept or an understanding or something that draws us, Lord God, to the deep, to the mysteries, to the things of God. And Father, others have tried to comprehend and understand you through some means of natural comprehension, and they've learned to love you even in that. But Lord God, how much more so are we accountable to you, Father God, seeing beyond the veil of human flesh and seeing beyond the veil of human mind and human reason, beyond the Jordan, Lord God, Father, into the marvelous kingdom. Father, help us to perceive, to understand. Don't let it be some intellectual application with some fake or phony ideology of thought, Lord God, but let us have a genuine, true, genuine look into thy kingdom. Help us, Lord Jesus. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. You can all be seated this evening. I appreciate the sons of God, the children of God. Amen. I appreciate the opportunity to be in the house of God. You know, something to do with humanity and mankind is there many times we let pride get in our way. We can let pride get in our way in our workplace. We can let pride that we're too proud to think that we don't know something. There's people that take jobs, and if they would let their employer know that I'm not sure if they understand this or not sure, and they feel like they're going to let them down by saying I don't know or something, but they would rather know that you don't, for they could help you, and then that would make you more valuable employee or such. But there's many times pride will hinder us from growing in the grace and knowledge of God because we're too proud. Or we would think that if I learned something from an individual or somebody that possibly it might make somebody think that they're smarter than me. Brethren, if we come to the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ that we're the least in the kingdom and we know that his knowledge is so, so awesome and so great and so far beyond the concepts of our intellect, then we could come with a drawing and a true hunger with an expectation and he could take us into things and show us things that are just so, so uncomprehendable to the finite mind. You understand that? And you say, well, what good would that be? If I got some revelation that's incomprehensible to the intellectual mind, what good is it? It brings you into heaven. It brings you into eternal life. I want you to turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, please. I want to go to the 5th chapter. When I was in Israel, I went to the place where they say that this message was ministered to, what they call the Mount of Beatitudes. It was out overlooking the Sea of Galilee. Beautiful place. A minister could sit on that hillside with looking over the Sea of Galilee there, Tiberias. The sound could be really amplified. And I believe that the Lord Jesus went there for a reason. He knew there was going to be a multitude there. And he knew that he could project and he could be heard. But I want to read here some, and if the Lord will expound some thought to us. And we lose, brethren, you do and I do. There's times that we could do things as unto the Lord, but then yet we murmur about it. And when we murmur and complain about it, we lose our victory. If we go back over and we look at the children of Israel, there was murmuring and complaining, and the earth opened up and swallowed them up. So we go to the shadows and we look at that and understand that God wasn't pleased with it. We come over into this time that we're now in and we say, you know, the murmuring complaint, well, I haven't seen the earth open up and swallow anybody up. But then yet this earth, this fleshly man, this fleshly part of us could open up and swallow up, and you could be so swallowed up in the flesh that you've got yourself to a point of being cut off, just like they were cut off from God. Amen. You know, the things that we see in the patterns are things that happen today. We find that when we go into the Old Testament, we find that people were stoned and put out and different kind of things. And you say, well, we don't see that happening today. But you see, you don't know the scriptures, nor do you understand them. Because the Bible teaches us about a present day crucifixion, about trampling the blood of Lord Jesus Christ under our feet. So are we going to discount the gospel and say that's not happening? Can the Lord Jesus Christ be crucified today in this present time? We know he can. He could be put to death today. We could find that there's things that you can do and I can do through murmuring, complaining, or that we could actually put him to death even in our personal testimonies. Do you realize that God wants to use you as a mouthpiece, as an oracle of heaven, as a spokesperson for his kingdom? He wants to use you as an ambassador. Now, I know that we read in the scriptures, I'm an ambassador for Christ. So if I'm an ambassador for Christ, that means that I'm representing his kingdom. If you're an ambassador for the United States and I send you to Kenya, Africa, or if I send you to the Philippines or whatever, to a place, you're representing your people, the nation, the country that you're from. And you might be the only spokesperson to say something in the behalf of your nation or your country. So the thing is how about you being an ambassador for Christ? And you might be the only ambassador that's at your workplace, at the job place that you work at. It might be at your family gathering. You might have been, your family might have been called together because somebody in their family was ready to take the last breath. They call the family. And you might be the only ambassador there for the kingdom of God. And now think about the importance. If I was asked by the United States to be an ambassador representing them in the foreign fields, I would think, I've got a great responsibility here. I have got a very important responsibility to project the things that are good for the people of America. And if somebody from my nation or somebody from my home country is in a problem or in a complication, many times they come to the ambassador there for help. If the nation is doing something unseemly to them or something wrong, they would come to the ambassador for help. Because he's representing the good for the American people there in that place, but he's also representing the country there and some of their purposes and some of their plans. Now the thing is that the ambassador could violate the country that he's in. And that means that he would maybe even be incarcerated or taken off, or that he would lost his status there in that nation and that country. Do you see the delicacy that we have to be careful of being a representative of the kingdom, being right here in this world? We're living in a country now that's supposed to be founded on godly principles and godly things, but then yet the country that we're now living in and dwelling in is trying to hush us in our own nation. I like when one of the brethren came here from Africa many years ago and he said, "Thank you, Americans, for sending missionaries into my land to free us from witchcraft and to free us from the things that we were involved in. Thank you for doing that." But then yet, Now I find it necessary for we as missionaries from Africa to come to America to get you set free. You know, powerful statement there. Powerful thing being said there. And I say, thank you, brother. What has taken place and what has happened? We got our Bibles open to Matthew, the 5th chapter. Let's begin there at the first verse and read some. Maybe some of these preliminary thoughts are set forth for a reason to put us possibly in a little bit of a foundation of thought here. And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If you're not sure what that means to be poor in spirit, we could take and replace that word poor and say repentive. Do you realize the importance of a repentive spirit? And then we would have to again differentiate repentance. I'm not going to break every part of this down as we go along, but this is what our Lord, our God, our salvation, our Savior, our King. This is something as he gets the people set down in a place that he knows he could expound or that they could hear him. And this is where he starts out at. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So we say repentance. Is this one that's always quick to say, I'm sorry? I remember ministering a message not many months back, but it was entitled that we've depreciated the meanings of the gospel and the things of God. We've depreciated so many things down, and we've depreciated poor in the spirit or repent of heart or repentance into just saying, hey, I'm sorry, and then continue on in your lifestyle. There's no repentance in that. So we find that somebody that turns away from those things with a spirit that wants to please God and seek after God, that theirs is the kingdom. Amen. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now I want you to think about every one, all 10 of those verses right there, that every single one of them, why were you blessed? I want you to think about that. They say, well, it's because the Lord Jesus Christ blessed me with eternal life. The Lord Jesus, I say, yea and amen. He predestined you. But if you see that there was an action on your part in every one of these for you to inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I get many people that find fault with me that say that I teach works, and I'll stand and testify and shout from every mountaintop, every TV station that would allow me, and every radio station that Brother Rob Coons, Pastor Rob Coons, teaches works. I don't teach that works gain salvation, but I do teach that when you have salvation, brothers and sisters, that you're going to produce works, and the works that you produce bring you into a different measure in the kingdom. Now, if I was going to take you over to the 11th hour worker, and we find that this guy comes over in the late part of the day or the 11th hour of the day, and he received the same word when we talk about a pence for a day's labor, and he got the same reward as the guy that started out in the morning. Some of them murmured and complained right then, if you remember. Well, it's not fair. I come and started out at 8 o'clock this morning, and I worked all day, and this guy comes in over at the 11th hour, you know, right before dark, and he's going to just work an hour. He's going to get the same pay. And he said, now, wait a minute. I made a deal with you at the beginning of the day, and this is what you agreed. I've met my agreement. Now, why are you upset with me? Because now I'm showing this other man my generosity. But see now, is this human nature we're talking about? Now, if you would be honest with yourself, you've done the same thing. Well, let me tell you where the average ministries or the religious people go to the 11th hour worker. They're talking about, you know, that this guy that came in right at the last moment, and he came in and he was like maybe 70 years old, and we could say possibly close to his deathbed, and he came in and he's got the same reward in the kingdom. Do you believe that's what that's teaching? If you believe that's what it's teaching, I could say that you partially have a truth, but you're partially in error. And you say, well, you're in violation of the scripture, Brother Rob, because you need to let your nay be nay or your yea be yea. And I say, yea and amen. But let me explain what I'm saying. What that's talking about, that reward is eternal life. You have the same reward of eternal life. Now let me ask you this, that every child that came into this world and he come forth or she come forth from the mother's womb and they took the breath of life, They got the same reward, the breath of life. And they've got this life in this earth, this temporal life, maybe 70 years, maybe 80, whatever it is, but you got this life. Is all of those lives the same? One might be a president and the other one might be on Skid Row. You understand that? One may be a pauper, so to speak, and one might be a multimillionaire. There's a different equality and value of life. And you say, well, you can't teach that about the kingdom. I didn't teach that. He did. And I do teach that. But I say I only teach what he teaches. I'm about the Father's business. Now the thing is, so you're telling me, Brother Rob, that there's going to be different measures in the kingdom of God? And the Bible said that the unseen things of the spirit world are revealed by the things which appear, the things that we see. Not everybody's a president. Not everybody's on the Senate, looking at the government now. Not everybody's on the presidential staff. Not everybody is a governor. Not everybody's in the House of Representatives. So we find that there's a commander-in-chief and it steps down through and goes down through governors and goes down and it power or this authority demonstrated down through. Well, this is like the kingdom. Now, my Bible says, if you're faithful over these little things, he'll make you ruler over many things and greater things. And the thing is that even damnation, the Bible talks about a greater damnation. And there are people that will have a greater degree of damnation and judgment and punishment. I don't want any part of the lake of fire. I don't want no part of it, a little part or a great part. But there is a greater damnation. So the thing is in the kingdom, the Bible said that we store away things in heavenly places where moth and rust and corruption can't get to it. And what are we storing these things up for? So what I'm trying to say is the 11th hour message has been perverted and we're living in a victim era and time. And people that have this kind of a thought that, well, I'm a victim, I've been done wrong, and this and that. You know, it's like, get over it. There's racial strifes in our land. I've been all over the world in different countries, and there's racial strifes all over. I've been in countries where I wasn't liked because I was white. I had a gentleman come to me, and he put his arm on me, and he said, Brother, it's okay, you're just as good as we are. And I said, well, thank you, God bless you. Amen. You know, and I was in a black culture, a black country when I was in Kenya, Africa. If I was ever a minority, I was there. I'm pretty fair-skinned, and I was pretty easy to spot out down there in town. You understand what I'm saying? But it wasn't with me. If I wasn't in the country, there was racial strife. You know, we could talk about the Hutus and the Tutsis, and we could talk about many of these tribes, and they're killing each other. They're dying and killing each other. They had what they called the River of Blood. And these were people of the same color, but it was ethnic cleansing, and they were killing and destroying. We could talk about Hitler, and we could talk about him taking fair-colored skinned people and putting them to death, the Jews, and thought nothing of it. And then we get into the issues with the Indians. When I was preaching on an Indian reservation, I was a white man, and it wasn't very easy. There was racial strife and tension there, and I had to break that down through love. And these are things that we have to do, brethren. I'm speaking with you about an ambassador and a spokesperson for Christ, yes. I'm speaking about this, everything that we read right here in these Beatitudes, we could say that every single one of them was an action on our part first. You say, oh, I'm so thankful that Jesus forgave me of my sins. Well, how did he forgive you of your sins? Well, before the world ever was, I say, yea and amen. If you want to get into the foreknowledge of God and predestination, we can go there tonight. But then yet, on the other hand, if you did not forgive somebody for a trespass against you, he can't forgive you. Amen. Now, is this Bible, brethren? It's what the Bible teaches. So the thing is we want to be in a doctrine that we do nothing, we say nothing, we have no expectations of us, and we're just Christians, and we're just born again because this great, big, merciful God just made me that way. And I say, hey, listen, I like that doctrine too. But we may as well go to the Catholic Church. You know, and say our Hail Marys and count our beads and go to the booth over there and this guy they call Father and say, hey, I've sinned, you know, and forgive me. Okay, and do thus, us, and us, and this, and go on your way. You know, and stop at the ABC store and grab you another bottle of whiskey. You know, and I know I talk crude, brother, but I'm making some points here. Am I going to say that you are saved because of your works? No. But I'm going to say the salvation that you have is going to most definitely produce works. Blessed are the ones that are repentant or poor in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be covered. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What is the actions of being meek? Think about it. Blessed are they which do hunger. There's an action on every one of these on your part to inherit the kingdom of God. But then yet we've got so many doctrines in the church world that they want to stop us from fulfilling the scriptures and the word. You know, who are you to judge me? You can't judge, they say. And they teach a doctrine out there that you can't judge. Preachers are teaching it. A preacher that teaches that you cannot judge is a preacher that's got the same demon spirit when the Lord Jesus Christ got out of the boat up near Caesarea, I believe it was. But when he got off of the boat and this spirit was there, says, are you here to judge us or torment us before our time? And that's the same devil that a preacher's got when he's teaching people that you can't judge. You know why preachers teach that? Because they don't want to be judged before their time. Let me take you to just a couple thoughts here. And this isn't the direction of thought, but it's going to be a thought for a moment here. The Bible said two can't walk together lest they be in agreement. So how can I know that I could walk with you or be in agreement with you unless I make some kind of a godly judgment? Is that right? Isn't that so? Now the Bible said evil communications corrupt good manners. So if I'm going to protect myself from your evil communications, then I'm going to have to make some sort of a judgment. Is this right? And the thing is if I give Godspeed to certain things, the Bible teaches me very clearly that I'm going to be partakers with that sin and receive the judgment of those things. Believe me, brothers and sisters, we have to make judgments on a daily basis. You show me a man or a woman or anybody that doesn't make judgments, they're in trouble. But see, this is the doctrine they want you to learn and want you to be taught. You know, you can't judge. Believe me, brethren, judgment begins right here in the house of God, and we're going to be judged. And the Bible said some men sin go before and some after. What that is saying is that you could submit to the ministry and submit to the things of God and to the gospel of Christ today, and your sins could be taken and dealt with now. And you'll find judgment coming from the sacred desk. Brother, you need to turn away from that. You need to get rid of your anger. You need to get rid of your malice. You need to get rid of your bitterness. You need to get rid of your drunkenness. You need to get rid of your murmuring. You need to get rid of your complaining. These are all things that are opposite of what we're going to do to inherit the kingdom of God. Yes, I'm preaching works here. You see, there's actions. We're about the Father's business, brethren. We are ambassadors for Christ. We have actions and works. Let's go on here and read a little bit more. And there's going to be some things to vindicate, even more so as we go down. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, and they shall obtain mercy. So when you're merciful, you receive mercy. The Bible teaches when we forgive, we receive forgiveness. The Bible says if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, what if you don't have a hunger for the Word of God? Will you receive righteousness? The scripture I brought out to you the other night, righteousness is the tree of life. So if there's no righteousness, there's no tree of life. This is action on your part, brothers and sisters. You know, we could labor, we could travail, we could press, we could contend for the faith. You realize that? It's attainable. Ask and you shall receive. The Bible said that some pray amiss. Why would they pray amiss? Because they're after their own needs instead of the needs of others. That's when you're amiss. Well, there's some wonderful things which we could expound, but let's go on here. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So if they're not pure in heart, will you not see them? If you're not merciful, you won't attain mercy. If you don't hunger for the word and the things right, you won't find righteousness and you won't be filled. If you're not meek, you won't inherit the earth. What do you mean inherit the earth? We don't want the earth, we want heaven. What is this called? This is the earthen vessel. If you don't inherit this thing, brothers and sisters, if you don't inherit this, then where is it going to find itself? This is the inheritance. The joint heirs with Christ. This is the mystery Paul spoke about. This is the bride. This is the part that's married unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is the part that goes through the metamorphosis. And if you inherit it now and redeem it now, the thing is you say, well, I'm already the redeemed of the Lord. If you are the redeemed of the Lord, then you'll redeem it now in righteousness and be the tree of life now. If you don't bring forth the fruit of the Spirit now, and there's no fruit, it said take an axe and lay it to the root of the tree. You understand what I'm saying? We've got to learn, brothers and sisters, that we are not just going and floating through this world by chance. We're not just kind of going along in this world. We are absolutely servants of God, ambassadors. We have a voice, we have a say-so, and we speak, we preach, we teach. You understand what I'm saying? We don't just stumble around and by halves. We make things. We're creators. We're conquerors. We have the authority to speak in this existence and speak things. You say, oh, I don't know about that. Well, I do know about that. He said that he's the high priest of my profession. I could speak to those things that are not and bring them into an existence. You say, man, you've got a terrible marriage. I say, no, I believe I got a good marriage. I believe I got a strong marriage. I believe I got a healthy marriage. I believe I got a good wife. I believe I got a loving wife. I got a wife that loves me and works with me and labors with me. And we're one and come into one mind. You know why I got that? Because that's my profession. And that's what I believe. And God will bring it into an existence. And while I'm believing that, I'm going to be living it. I'm going to be speaking it. And I'm going to be talking about it. Amen. Oh, a good marriage is just because you were soulmates and you were this and that. Ain't no such thing. If you're looking for that and you're looking for the perfect woman, there ain't one. There ain't never been no perfect woman. There ain't been no perfect man. And you say, wait a minute, brother. I know what the Bible says about perfect. You know, be ye perfect, you know, and even as our master in heaven is perfect, and we find in the scriptures that there were perfect men. And I say, yea and amen. But I was talking to you when you think you're going to find that husband and you say, oh, he's just perfect. He takes care of me and that's why. The only reason they're perfect is because we spoke light and revelation in it. And this is the perfection in the foreknowledge of God. And we're bringing it into a manifestation. Do you realize that Abraham brought forth that perfection through his righteousness and through his actions and through his deeds? And if you say, well, I'm perfect because Christ made me perfect, then you're going to bring the fruit of the perfection to light, to revelation, to understanding. It's laying right here within the scriptures we're reading. You understand what I'm saying? I believe in perfection. I believe that I'm called to bring you to perfection. I believe that Christ has already brought you to perfection. But we have to rend the veil between the first, second, third heaven, and then you could understand that. So when I'm speaking about something being not perfect, I'm not speaking about what he perfected in the third heaven. I'm speaking about what we're perfecting through the transformation of mind, through the pressing into the kingdom of God and kicking the gates of hell down and fighting the good fight of faith. And we're bringing something upright into righteousness and perfection and into holiness. Amen. And this is what's taking place right here. Why would the Lord Jesus himself said all of these things? Everything that he said here has already happened in the third dimension, but we're bringing it forth in the second that others could be drawn into the kingdom. Amen. Because that's what we're here for. I'm not an ambassador in this earth for Christ for my salvation. I am salvation in this earth to bring salvation to others. He was the firstborn of many brethren. He said, I am the resurrection. I stand before you and say, I am the resurrection. What do you mean you're the resurrection? Because I was crucified with Christ and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Go read it yourself. Galatians, the second chapter, 20th verse. Paul said that. God's no respecter of person. He said that. I could say that. I am the resurrection. I am life. I am the light of the world. Amen. It says it right here. Well, you can't say that. I just said it. I am the light of this world. This world is darkness, amen. We're the light of the world and we bring light into the darkness to eradicate it, to eradicate the darkness of carnality and human reason, that people can know who they are in Christ and then they can bring other people into eternal life, amen. Okay, let's go on here. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteous sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Why were they persecuted? For righteousness' sake. So if they weren't bringing forth righteousness, would they have been persecuted? Come on now. And you say, no, but they were persecuted for righteousness' sake. You got to get a hold of this. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. For his sake? Why does he need that? What would it be for his sake for? Now I want you to think about it, brethren. There's revelations in the scriptures. And we need to understand that. We need to understand where life comes from, where life lays at, what brings forth life, what brings forth strength, what brings forth power. What makes you understand light is darkness. Do you realize that? Oh, I just can't understand why somebody say that God would have created, you know, a devil. I just don't believe that. Well, you have to discount some of the scriptures. He said all principalities, all powers, all things visible, all things invisible, all thrones, all dominions, all powers. I'm thankful that he created Satan, aren't you? Well, I'm not thankful about that, man. He's got my son, he's got my daughter, he's got my friend, he's got my wife, he's got my dad, he's got my mom. Man, I don't know if I'm thankful about that. I said, I'm thankful because we could show that we're conquerors, praise God. And then we've got all authority and all power over him. And he's the prince of death, and we've got all authority and power. Death has been abolished. So, you know, that's why I'm rejoicing, amen. How would you know you had strength unless you had something to conquer? Come on now. When that guy's in your face cursing you out, and that guy's speaking all manner of evil, rejoice. You get to show the love of God, the power of God, the power of salvation. People can see the demonstration of the Spirit right there in you. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Are you understanding the exhortation going to you? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. I wonder why he's wanting us to have good works. And what, he's going to preach a doctrine we don't have works and don't have to have works? What kind of doctrine is that? It's doctrines of devils. I'm sorry. Just because I preach works don't mean I'm teaching you you're saved by works. I'm teaching you that you're saved and you're producing works. If you don't have works, you don't have faith. And if you don't have faith, you don't have salvation. The Bible said without faith it's imputed you as sin. The sting of sin is death. So if you don't have faith, you're dead. On your way to eternal damnation in hell. That's Bible. Okay, so you've got to have faith. But then I could take you in the Bible and say that the only way that we could know that you have faith is by works. He said, I'll show you my faith by works. And then the Bible goes on and says that your faith is perfected by what? What is your faith perfected by, saints? Works. Go read it for yourself. Your works perfects your faith. See, people have troubles with that, but I'm just telling you what the Bible teaches us. It's in James. You could read it. It's very clear. Let your light so shine, verse 16, before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Are my good works for them to glorify me? If I'm letting them glorify me, if they want to flatter me, then there's a problem with me. I say, hey, I'm the least of anybody. The glory goes to God. If there's any good thing that comes forth from me, it's the works of Christ, amen? Because I don't have no good thing. There's no good thing laying within the members of my flesh, but the only goodness is God. That's why the Bible said there's none good, not even one. Well, how could that guy be none good, but then yet he's perfect? You see, you just switch dimensions again. You say, well, I believe in the transfiguration too. I believe in the finished work of Christ. I believe that I am the purchased possession. I believe that he sees me in the foreknowledge. I believe that he sees me in predestination. Yes, I could go there with you. But that does not discount the requirements, the activities of the labors that we're in now. If it wasn't necessary for labors right now, then why did Jesus Christ walk in the earth with labors and travail? Why did Paul say that he travailed until Christ be formed in you? If it was all done through the works of Jesus Christ, why did he travail? Why is it say to the ministers that they howl between the porch and the altars all night long if there's no works that we're supposed to be producing? You see, these are doctrines of this time of a wretched, adulterous, sinful generation. I started to talk about the victim and victim mentality mind. And a mind that, you know, you owe me and you got to take care of me and you got to do this. Brethren, I'm not here for somebody to take care of me. I'm here to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to labor and to give my life and to be spent for the Lord. You understand that? I'm not seeking monetary things of this world as I'm seeking them for other people. God adds them to me and blesses me and gives me things. Amen. That's His word. That's His doing. Don't seek after those things. Seek after those things for others before you can show them the true, genuine love of God. Amen. Verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law. I want you to listen to this. Real common doctrine. Oh, the law's been laid up and rolled away and put away, and I'm not under the law. And I say, yay, amen, praise God. But we got to do some differentiation. Do you understand what differentiation means? Do you understand what it means to rend the veils between the first, second, third heaven, the body, soul, and spirit, the Father, Word, and the Holy Ghost? the natural world, physical world, spiritual world. We got to rend the veils of these things. You see, there's a labor in one and there's rest in another one. And even though the rest is in this one and that we got to bring it over into this one. See, I got to have rest in my spirit. If you see me anxious and all this stuff and struggling and turmoil and worrying and friend, I have not brought the manifestation of the revelation of peace. I have not brought the rest in my spirit. It's got to come to that. We got to see that. I was fellowshipping with my grandson a little bit this morning. And I told him, I said, you know, naturally, not talking about the kingdom or the spirit world, but I said, naturally speaking, when I'd fly in an airplane with my father and would be in a real genuine emergency, an engine quit or landing gear wouldn't come down or those kind of things, I watched the man that was calm. The man that landed this airplane up here in the New York area or wherever, Washington, D.C. area, wherever it was at, and he landed that airplane on the water, everybody lived. He used his thinking. He kept his cool, so to speak. He said, hey, I'm trained to do this. I've been trained to ditch airplanes. That looks like the safest place for me to put this airplane down right now. You know, that was a man that kept his mind and his thoughts. If he wouldn't have done that, he might have tried to land maybe right in town between some buildings. Killed hundreds, maybe thousands, and maybe everybody on the airplane. But he made a right decision because he was calm. You understand that? Now see, that's something we can inherit today. Some of you got to sit under my pastor, Brother Pike, and there would be turmoil and things coming down and things happening, but he's always calm. I never saw him, you know, yeah, he'd preach and he'd raise up his voice like a trumpet and scream and shout and yell and dance and do different things as the preachers do. But I'm talking about when the adversary, the adversity and the travails and different things would come, the brother just was calm. He was calm, had peace. You see, this is a fruit of the Spirit. Now, let's go back to this thought a minute. This is the Lord speaking here. Some of you, I could say this is written in red in your Bible. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Now, if he's the firstborn of many brethren and he is our example, then what should I be saying? For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Now listen, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So now we got the great and we got the least. We got a lot of funny doctrines that go forth. Am I going to teach you that we're going to make it in by the law? God forbid. I'm telling you what I've already made it in and I fulfill the law. I'm not telling you because I fulfill the law of God that I make it into the kingdom. I'm saying it's because I am a son of God that the law has been fulfilled and I'm here to show you the fulfillment of it. Did Jesus do that? Yes, he did. He did that. Now I'm a son of God. He was the firstborn of many brethren. I'm a brother of God. I'm a brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was telling you what the Bible says. Can you believe it, brother? Come on. Is the Father a respecter of person? If he done this for Jesus and gave him the authority and the power, and he said that you're more than conquerors, and greater things shall you do than what I've done, the Lord Jesus taught us this. Oh, I can't do greater things. Well, you poor thing, I can. Well, you think too highly of yourself, brother. I wouldn't think highly of myself. Well, I'm thinking highly of him. He's the one that gave me all authority and all power. He's the one that gave it to me. I can do nothing without him. So anything that I do glorifies him. Well, how can you do greater things than him? Because he made it possible. He had to abolish death for me to bring forth the accomplishments of it. You understand that? People are afraid to speak the word of God. They're afraid to have a profession. Do you know that people that are got dying elements or sick in their body, they're afraid to speak to somebody and say, I'm healed in the name of Jesus Christ. And they're afraid to speak that. Well, it would make me a liar if it don't happen. Well, you make him a liar if it doesn't. And he can't lie. Do you believe what he said? If you don't believe what he said, then you're none of his. But I believe what he said. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. Now listen to that. Say, what are you going to do with that, Brother Rob? I got no problem with this. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall no case enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother have aught against thee, leave there the gift before the altar, and go thy way first to be reconciled by thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Let me go on here. Remember verse 20. I'm going to probably back up to that, because I know that people have problems with some of that. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the othermost farthing. I could take right there and teach on verse 26 and take a lot of time tonight. Do you realize that there's sayings because of our actions and deeds that the Lord is telling you and I that you're going to pay all the way to the othermost of this part? You say, oh, brother, you can't teach that stuff. Let me tell you, he taught it. You say, you can't teach that stuff. I've been washed in the blood. And he put my sin as far as the east is from the west. And I could just slop my way through this world. And I could violate. I could cheat. I could steal. I could lie. I could curse. I could drink. And it ain't going to be laid to my charge. You're an ignorant. I'm being nice. I love you. You see, there's doctrines that takes the grace of God and turns it into lasciviousness. The doctrine about the grace of God, he was so merciful and gracious to us that he died and shed his blood and took our sins away and granted unto us eternal life and granted us the Holy Ghost. Amen. And we are partakers of the Holy Ghost, which is power. It's the power to overcome, the power to walk upright and righteous, the power to put these things under our feet. Amen. The power to walk in righteousness, the tree of life. Amen. I'm not going to take time to expound on verse 26. I would like to. My pastor made a statement one time. He was talking about one of his brethren. He said, this brethren's in prison. He's been in prison for 6 years. He was walking with us every day, come to church, fellowship, went out to dinner with him. And this, but the pastor said, the man's in prison. What do you mean he's in prison? Do you realize, brethren, that there's people that are set free and there's people that got shackles on them? You could be shackled down with bitterness. You could be shackled with hate. You could be shackled with envy. You could be shackled with jealousies and strife. You could be so eat up with those things that you're in a prison. And you may not even know it. You think you're free. And you think you got the liberties to go and to come and to frolic and to fellowship and do this. But you're bound and you're blind and you're lost. But you never see it. You understand what I'm saying? Let's be real with the Word of God. If you're only happy and satisfied because of the things around about you and because of this little tranquil world, because your bills are paid and because you got your whatever, you know, that's not happiness, brothers and sisters. That's not the fulfillment of the gospel in the scriptures. I would rather be a doorkeeper. You understand that? A doorkeeper in the house of God is dwelling in the tents with the wicked. But sometimes we find ourselves wanting to fellowship the people of this world and be partakers with them and get out here in the world. And when you're finding inspiration in the world, you need to check up. One of the brethren one time was talking about his wife. He said, you know, I go home, she's too sick to do the dishes. She's too sick to vacuum the floor. She's too sick to do these kind of things. And I say, come on, man, let's go up to Shogun and get some sushi. And he said, man, she could do cartwheels and front flips and beat me out to the vehicle. And he said, man, all of a sudden she got better. She's ready to roll now. You say, what are you saying, Brother Rob? Well, this is the way some of our lives are. Man, let's go to the theme park. Come on, let's go out here and go frolicking. Let's go out here and do this and let's go out and do that. Woohoo, let's go. Well, let's do something for God. Oh, I just ain't up to it. I don't know. I had a bad week. I'm kind of tired. You know, man, I don't know, you know, this and that. And I'm telling you, you're going to die. You're going to perish. Let's say that you're seeking a wife. Let's say you're seeking for a husband. Will you marry somebody that never has time for you? Come on now, I'm asking you, brother or sister. You know, well, I ain't got time for you. I ain't got time. I don't want to talk to you. I don't need this. I got other things. I got this more important. You're probably going to be interested in them. What about your Lord and your God and your Savior? Don't you want Him to be interested in you? Don't you want Him to think, wow, this is my beloved, and I'm well pleased. Hallelujah. They love me. They seek after me. They want fellowship with me. They want to talk with me. They want to sup with me. They want to walk with me. You see, there's love in that. It brings joy. This is why the Bible said that if you love your own mother, father, your wife, or your children more than them, you're not worthy. But let me tell you, when you love Him and more than anything and you're loving Him, then all you are is the expression of love. It's going to make you love your wife, love your husband, love your children, love everything, because you're in such love with Him that you're not seeing all their evils and their wickednesses and all those things, and you're loving them. And you say, you need some help, preacher. And I say, yay and amen. That's why I preach the gospel, if I can get help and strength. Does this give us a license to walk with them that walk disorderly? You see, there's a message of grace that we've got to understand. I can create. I can take a heathen that is so bound and shackled in darkness that he's lost on his way to hell, and I could take my love and I could transform his mind, and I could travail to bring him into the kingdom of God. Do you realize that? And I could speak by love. I could speak through a confession of love, saying, brother, I love you. Sister, I love you. I see that God loves you. He shed His blood for you. He had you in mind. A man came into the church the other day, covered up with tattoos, long ponytail, beards, pins, piercings, all this kind of stuff. And he walks in the door, and I walk right up to him. I said, man, you look like a preacher. Let me shake your hand. And you say, what's wrong with you, Brother Rob? Why would you say that? To welcome him. To say, I love you. Amen. What if a woman came into the church in a miniskirt and said, man, you look like a child of God. Would I be wrong? And you say, well, you don't look like a child of God to me, brother. I look like a whore. What did you look like outside of the foreknowledge of God? When at your very best, righteousness is filthy rags. And if you knew, that's filthy. It's pretty rank. That's what you are at your best. Let's go on down for a moment, because I just want to talk about some things. I'm talking about works, yes. It says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Okay, we're talking about Moses' laws, is correct? But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Now let me ask you something. If we're going to talk in differentiation of the law, of Moses' law and the law that the Lord Jesus Christ, which one is harder to fulfill? Come on, I'm asking you a question. So if this man, that when this individual was caught in the very act of adultery with the woman, they dragged the woman before the Lord Jesus Christ, and they had in the law that they could have stoned her. And the Lord said, ye without sin, cast the first stone. And they all walked away. He went down, did some writing in the sand. He might have been writing down a few things that he knew about them, huh? He said, hey, this guy that dragged right here by the hair head said, we're going to stone her. And maybe he wrote down his name. Maybe he wrote down the whore he was with maybe the night before, huh? You say, you're just evil surmising, Brother Rob. Well, you can call it whatever you want, but he wrote something down there that changed their mind, huh? Amen. He might have took the mirror off the woman that he was looking at, put the mirror in his face, and he might have saw himself. Thought, God, I need mercy. And I shall receive mercy because I give mercy. So what was he showing there? He was showing there's a mercy and there's a grace with this law. But does he say we trample this law under our feet? Do we tread the blood of Jesus under our feet? Verse 29, it says, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. Jesus had some pretty good laws he laid down here, huh? This is in the New Testament, is this correct? Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. How many of you made vows and oaths unto the Lord and didn't keep them? But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is His footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shall thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Word's awesome. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, and let him have thy cloak also. Do you realize walking in the laws of God, the Lord Jesus Christ brings such peace and tranquility and removes animosity, hate and anger and vengeance and all this stuff? If we would just fulfill what Jesus said, it removes the strife. It removes all these things. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. For ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. Oh, I'm a son of God, praise God. I'm a child of God. But it says that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Come on now, brethren. We're guilty. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which in heaven is perfect. Amen. I love the Word of God. Let's go all the way back up to verse 20 real quick. I won't keep you too long here. Verse 20 says, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom. How are we going to do that? Am I going to make it into the kingdom by my righteousness or his righteousness? Now the thing is it's my righteousness and his righteousness. What is the difference between these two righteousnesses? Is there a difference between them? You see, brethren, we've got to understand the Word of God. And we're sometimes afraid to speak the Word, to talk about the Word, or to bring the Word to a vindication or a manifestation or a revelation. The thing is we have been under a doctrine called the doctrine of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now the thing is the doctrine of the revelation of Jesus Christ is the doctrine that fulfills all of these things. It reveals Christ. It reveals the strength. It reveals the light. It reveals the hope. The revelation of Jesus Christ is righteousness. The revelation of Jesus Christ is hope. The revelation of Jesus Christ is power. The revelation of Jesus Christ is the hope of glory. What is the hope of glory? If we already have something that we hope for, then why would we hope for it, the Bible says? Do you understand that? Brother Ed says to me, he says, what's hope? Well, I was hoping for some water. He says, why, Brother Rob, are you hoping for some water? You've got some water. I'm no longer hoping for water now, am I? Now, if he would have just carried this up here, I might have been hoping for some water. And then he brought it up through. Now, I'm not hoping for water. Is that right? I know the scriptures say this, and it's simple. What am I hoping for? When we think of faith, hope, and charity. And it said, with these three, there is no law. Do you understand it? I can take it over and read that to you. Faith, hope, and charity. There is no law. But then yet he spent all this time, the Son of God, speaking all these things about the fulfillment of the law. And it said that your righteousness must exceed them of all the Pharisees and things. Can I do this? Did he do this? Am I totally dependent on him? I say, yeah, and I, amen, I am. But if he is, and I have a hope of this, then I've got to fulfill this. What is the fulfillment of hope? It's faith. And what is the fulfillment of faith? Substance. What is substance to the fulfillment of the law? Righteousness. It is the fulfillment of the law. It is bringing it into a finished completion work. Jesus said it's finished. Now when he was there at the cross of Calvary and he was on there, the last words that came out of his mouth said, it is finished. Is that right? What was finished? What was finished? Death was abolished. The last enemy of God to be conquered was death. Now there's people that think that death has not been abolished. That's not true. It has been abolished. That's why I'm more than a conqueror. That's why I've passed from death unto life. That's why I'm eternal in the heavens. That's why I cannot die. This is why I cannot sin. Because it's the fulfillment of all righteousness and the fulfillment of all things. You understand what is faith? You say, well, Brother Robert, are you speaking this by faith? I am speaking this because it's no longer a hope to me, because it is a vindication and a manifestation of the works and labors of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it has been fulfilled in me. Why? Because I'm a son. Why is it fulfilled in you? Because I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And you say, what if you fail? I can't. What do you mean you can't fail? If I can't sin, according to the scriptures. And you say, well, Brother Rob, then you teaching that I can't backslide? I had a friend on doing some teaching, and I think he's a wonderful man. And they go into a bunch of scripture references thing and say that we backslide. You know, that we can backslide and we could lose our salvation. That's not according to the scriptures. Now let me help you out here. The Bible says that when they go back into the world, it was to be made manifest. What? That they were never of you. Now when they stand before the Lord Jesus and they said, hey, wait a minute. I cast out devils in your name. I laid hands on the sick. They recovered. I done this. He said, I never. He didn't say, I knew you one time and now I know you no more. Did he say that? No, he didn't. What did he say? I never knew you. I never knew you. He could tell you his name. He could tell you how many times his heart beat. He could tell you how many hairs is on his head. He could tell you how many times his breath went in and out of his lungs. He could tell you every single thing about him because he knows all things. Omniscient. He knows everything. But he says, I never knew you. Do you realize that Joseph never knew Mary until after Jesus Christ was born? But he loved her. He was betrothed unto her. Okay? He knew her. He knew her name. He had married her. But he said he never knew her. Are you getting a revelation of that now? But when he knew her, when Joseph knew Mary, this Jesus had brothers, half-brothers, we could say. The Son of Man had half-brothers, maybe we should say. Come on now. Jesus. Now listen to me. Joseph did not know Mary until after Jesus had been born. In other words, she was a virgin when she brought forth Jesus Christ. There wasn't no involvement from a seed, a blood seed of mankind. Now when Jesus said this very thing to you and I, or to that individual, that when he said it to the man that stood before him, he said, I never knew you. He never entered into the marriage relationship. That man didn't backslide. That man didn't cast out devils. That man didn't pray for the sick and they were healed and then backslid. This is what they use for doctrine to teach at. That never happened. Right here in the scriptures, one of the last verses that we read, down here at the end of part of this chapter, he talked about the rain coming on the just and on the unjust. This was an unjust man. An unjust man means he was not justified by the works of Jesus Christ at Calvary. He wasn't justified. He was unjust. He never knew the Lord. He never entered into the secret chambers with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was never the bride of Christ and entered in. But there was works. There was labors. He was a minister. He prophesied. He said, I never knew you. See, people don't like this teaching and this doctrine. I'm just teaching what he's taught. You understand that? Now the thing is, when he said, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity, depart from me. He didn't say, I once knew you, but now I no longer know you, or I cut you off, or I put you out. Now, what are you saying here, preacher? I'm saying that we need to understand this, because I'm going to tell you something. My Bible said nothing could be laid to our charge. Nothing could pluck me out of the hand of God. You understand that? There's no power, no principality can do that. Amen? That I'm hid away in Him. I'm sealed in. I cannot sin. I cannot die because I've passed from death unto life. And you say, well, you're speaking in the foreknowledge of God. And I am the foreknowledge of God. I am the predestination. I am the predestined of God. Now, if I'm speaking that, are you speaking that by faith? I'm speaking that through vindication of faith. I'm speaking that through the manifestation of faith. I'm speaking that through the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, that I'm walking in righteousness and holiness and godliness, and I'm walking because that is the fruit of the Spirit. And I am the fruit of the Spirit because I have all love, joy, and peace, and gentleness, and long-suffering dwelling in me. It's part of me. I'm in Him, and He's in me. Now, I could take and read that to you in the Scriptures. You say, well, what happens, Brother Rob, if you went back out into the world and that you started adultery and fornication and all that? It would have been just made manifest that I was speaking the Word of God here, but it was never in me, and I was never in Him. It was just the rain coming down, and all you witnessed was the rain coming down, and I was speaking the marvelous things of the Word of God. Because if I go back, it says it to be made manifest, I was never of Him. You say, but Brother Rob, I saw you lay hands on people. I've seen people healed of death sentences. I've seen people healed from cancer. I've seen people this and set free. And I say, hey, that was the rain of the living God coming down. You understand that? And you say, well, where do we put our faith? Where do we put our hope, Brother Rob? I said, in Him and Him alone. Amen. Let me tell you something. There's people that are they'll start quoting scriptures and saying this and saying that. Oh, the Bible talks about removing the candlestick and thus and this and that. You know, we got to be careful. We got to differentiate between the first, second, and third heaven. In the second heaven is where the light comes into, and there's darkness there. You say, but that's against the scriptures. I said, no, it's not. In the third heaven, there's no darkness. There's no darkness. You can't mix light and darkness in the third heaven. It's only light there. You understand that? You can't have bitter and sweet in the third heaven. But if you take the sweetness of the third heaven and this authority and power comes down into this earth, you understand that? Now, my Bible says that light is formed within the darkness. Has anybody read that in the Bible? So what does that mean? In my first birth, it's darkness. My intellectual mind is darkness. My carnality is darkness. My first birth is darkness. The light, by the love of God, has come down to my innermost being. Light being formed within the dark. This light is coming forth and eradicating the darkness. My Bible says that the light eradicates darkness. It's going to eradicate everything of my first birth, the first mind, the first man. It's going to eradicate him. It's going to devour him and swallow him up. And he's going to be done away, and he's going to stand forth in this present day as the light of the world. He's going to stand forth in this present day as the righteousness of Christ. He's going to stand forth in this present day and in this hour as a purchased, blood-bought possession of the Lord God, being a son of God, walking upright in righteousness and holiness, and bringing forth the manifestation of the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ into the earth today, that people could see the good works of the Lord Jesus Christ made known and made manifest in this hour, for they can have hope. You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about you. What is the revelation of Jesus Christ? Is it a knowledge or a manifestation? It brings a knowledge. But knowledge doesn't bring the revelation, but revelation brings knowledge. There's a difference. Works, faith will produce works, but works doesn't necessarily going to produce faith. But if you have faith, it's going to produce works. You understand that? So the thing is that revelation produces types and shadows, allegories. Types and shadows and allegories does not make revelation. Faith will produce and bring forth works, but works doesn't necessarily, but works can perfect faith now. But listen, you got to understand this, because people get crossed up in these things and they don't know how to labor. We're the labors of the Lord. Do you realize that? We're the labors of Christ. We're the manifestation of the sons of God. The Bible said the world is yearning and waiting and longing for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's what the Bible says. The world is. I'm not the world. I am the manifestation of the Son of God. You say, you can't say that. He said that. Now listen, don't be offended now. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about your confession. Jesus Christ is the high priest of my profession. What is my profession? I'm born of God. I'm eternal. I'm living forever. I can't die. I'm more than a conqueror. You understand that? That's my profession. Paul said, I want to speak to you as unto spirituals, but I find you yet carnal. These things that I'm saying, you should be speaking these things. Okay, so now, you mean I should be speaking like that? Man, if I spoke like that, I'd be blaspheming and cut off from God. Who lied to you and told you that? If he's the high priest of your profession, what is your profession supposed to be? More than a conqueror? What is more than a conqueror? I mean, you can say, man, I'm a conqueror, but I'm more than a conqueror. Now let me ask you a question. When he says in the scriptures that you've passed from death unto life, what does that mean? What does it mean to you that you passed from death unto life? Okay, now if you pass from death unto life, that means that death is abolished and you've conquered it. Death is the sting of sin. So then, if you've passed from death unto life, that means that sin was conquered. And where was sin conquered at? At Calvary. Did you conquer sin, Brother Rob? He conquered it. Okay, but now I have His Spirit. What is His Spirit? It's all power. He said, go ye into Jerusalem and you tarry there until you're endued with weakness? No. He said, endued with power. What is this power? You know, the Pentecostals have diminished this. I say I'm a Pentecostal, but they've diminished this or depreciated that thing, saying, oh, you know, the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. So they speak in tongues, and that's their evidence of being in the Holy Ghost. My evidence of the Holy Ghost to this day, and I speak in tongues, but my evidence is power, authority to take and walk and tread on scorpions and serpents. What do you mean, Brother Rob? It's my authority and power to walk in righteousness and holiness and godliness and keep myself out of the world. It's my power over alcoholism, my power over drugs, my power over tobacco, my power over adultery, my power over fornication. That's what it is. Power and authority. Are you the manifestation of the Son of God? If you're the manifestation of the Son of God, if it's the world that's yearning and longing and waiting for the manifestation. Okay, so what is the world? We got a world out here and we got a world right here. We got an earth out here, the first earth, first heaven. We got the second heaven, physical realm, soul realm, and we got an earth. Yes, this world right here, it's aging. Yes, this world is ache and has pains in it and different things, and it's yearning and longing and waiting for the manifestation or the transfiguration, to wit, the redemption, to bring this body forth in its manifested authority of the transfiguration, the body that wasn't made with hands. Okay, so it's yearning for that. But let me tell you something. It's already purchased. It's the redeemed of the Lord. It is the purchased possession. It's already taken care of. So am I struggling to redeem my body? It's already been redeemed. But I'm travailing to Christ be formed in you. I'm travailing to make sure you're calling election sure, that you know that you're the redeemed of the Lord, that you are the children of God, that you are the sons of God, that you have already passed from death unto life. It isn't something that's going to happen later. Death is not going to be abolished later, brethren. It's already been abolished, and you must believe it now. You must believe that it's been fulfilled. It's done. It's completed. If Jesus didn't do it when he was here, it's never going to be done. So if I speak by the finished work of Calvary, then people want to find fault with you. If he finished it then what am I now? I'm complete in all things. Then what are you doing? I'm sharing it with others. Brother Pike had a vision. In this vision, he went into this museum and he was going to bring these beautiful things out and take them down and show them. People said, oh, you can't do that. You can't take those things out of there. The law will get you. But he had to condescend down to bring them to that. You see, so what am I bringing you to? What am I trying to do? I'm trying to get you caught away. But when you're frolicking in the world and part of the world, you'll never be caught away. Well, I'm where you're at. That doesn't necessarily mean you're where I'm at. He walked among men, but when they asked him, I'm speaking of the Lord Jesus, and he said, well, I'm in heaven. But he was standing there amongst them. He said, I'm in heaven. He said, Where I am, you shall be also. Where am I at? I'm in heaven. Well, that don't make sense, Brother Rob. You're right here on this earth. Well, then you tell me where heaven's at. I can put the strength on you to tell me. I can tell you where it's at. I know exactly where heaven is. You say, well, wait a minute. My Bible said that we're encamped around by a great cloud of witnesses. Where is that? Where is the angel of the Lord at? And someone said, well, he's within me. Well, if he's over here within my brother, and he's over here within my brother, the highest height, the deepest depth, there I am also, he says. So where is this kingdom? Where are these angels? I might go over here and knock on the door, walking down the street, just knocking on the door, saying, I want to share the love of God with you. And they slammed the door on the angel of the Lord. Do you believe that? That's what the Bible says. What you've done to the least of these, my brethren, is what you've done unto me, he said. I'm the least of all the brethren in the kingdom. I'm the least of all. So if I go knock on a door and you slam the door on me, what you've done to the least, to old Brother Rob, you've done it unto the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just telling you what his word says. Oh, but you know, you have to be somebody that's great and a conqueror and great manifest and all these things for that to be true. Hey, I'm a child of God doing the best I can. I love the Lord. Praise God for his mercy and his grace. I'm going to try not to turn it into lasciviousness. You might be greater than me and have a greater measure than me, which I know you do. But what you do unto me, you done unto him. I preached a message the other night. I said, you don't know who you are because you don't know who I am. Come on, I said that. I said that, the Lord said that to me. You don't know who you are because you don't know who they are. If I can't see Christ in Andy, or I can't see Christ in my wife, or Christ in Ed, or Pete, or Gabriel, or something, I got nothing. I'm absolutely nothing. Christ saw something in me when I was wretched. He saw something in me when I was doping and drinking. He saw something in me when I was lost, and he saw the potentiality of his labors and his work. And if I can't see that in my brother, and I can't have the Spirit of God, and I cannot be more than a conqueror, and I cannot be a savior. Ye that win souls are wise. I got to see beyond the veil of your stumbling and your staggering. I got to see the beyond the veil of your problems and complications and see the perfected works of Christ. Or I got nothing. Zero. Now I go back to what we started out here, the Beatitudes. Everything there was the manifestation of a requirement of you. Come on now, people don't like this. They just want to say, oh man, I was predestined in the foreknowledge of God, and he put me, my name, in the book of life before the foundation of the world. It doesn't matter what I snort, it don't matter what I smoke, it don't matter what I do, it don't matter if I'm faithful to my wife, none of that matters, I'm sealed in and hid away in Christ. I could tell you about the mercies of God that I could say yea and amen to a statement like that, but let me tell you on the other hand, I'm going to speak by the power of the Holy Ghost. And Paul said, I am going to be looking for fruit met unto repentance in your life. And repentance is what? It is a turn. It is a change. And he started out right here in the Beatitudes. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the repentant of the Lord. Amen. And that means you've turned away from your will, from your way, and you are the kingdom of God. Heaven and all things eternal are in you, and you're in all things. Jesus said that very same thing. Oh, no man has seen the Father, the Bible said. But Jesus looked at Philip and said, how can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long? Amen. How can you say you have not seen the Father? How can you say you have not seen the Father? But the Bible said no man has seen the Father. Well, how did he speak that to him? Was possibly Philip in the foreknowledge of God of being a son of God? And sons of God have eyes to see and ears to hear. You know why a man doesn't see it? Because a man died and the new creature in Christ lives. And he knows and sees everything that pertaineth unto life. Nothing comes on us as unawares. You understand that? God's word is good. Let's give Jesus a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. You know, the Bible said a wise man hears the end of the matter. And I say a lot of things I know would take a lot of time to expound on, to talk about. But these things, the Bible said, have to be spiritually discerned. I'm sorry you're not going to get these things through the theologians that come out of your Baptist seminaries, your Pentecostal seminaries, your Assembly of God seminaries, or wherever. They're not going to get these things. And you know, people will hear me preach and they'll go and get some carnal-minded concordance of some doctor of theology that went to some college, and they'll read what he said and they say, this is right here what I believe. and they'll burn in hell with that reprobate theologian. And you say, are you saying you're better than them? I said I was the least of all. All I'm saying is that the Word of God is real and it's rich and it's alive. And while you're compromising the Word and afraid to speak the Word and trying to afraid to speak of who you are, let me tell you, I'm not afraid to confess or to profess Christ. He's the high priest of my profession. And he gave me everything that pertaineth unto life. Everything. Not just some, he gave me everything. He said he made me joint heirs with him. He said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, that thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You say, you can't become equal. I can't. I'm heirs, joint heirs with him. He gave me everything that pertaineth unto life. He gave me everything. I'm his bride. I'm married unto him and he gave me everything. You say, well, I thought you were speaking like a son of God. Oh, well, I thought you was questioning. I thought maybe while you was questioning, I was going to think that maybe you was questioning me in the bride dimension. So I said, in the bride, I married unto him and it made us equal. He said, I show you a mystery when the brother, when the man and the woman marry. They become one. So I'm one with him. He is everything. So if I'm one with him, who am I? Who are you? I can't say that. Why are people afraid to speak the Word of God? I said to an Assembly of God minister one time, I said, brethren, I'm a son of God. He goes, oh, I can't say that. I said, what you mean you can't say that? Beloved, now ye are the sons of God. He didn't say, beloved, brethren, someday you're going to be a son of God. I was up here talking with some men down near Charlotte one time. And this guy was talking about, goes, man, someday, you know, after I die, I'm going to get this, and I'm going to get that, and I'm going to have this. And I said, who's been lying to you? What makes you think that you got to die to inherit the kingdom? You do. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm talking, he was speaking in a natural death that he had to be put in a box and buried and they throw the flowers on it and then he's going to get all set. I've already inherited everything. I'm a joint heir. Come on now. He's given me everything now. You see, a deferred hope sickeneth the heart, the Bible said. I don't have a deferred hope. My God is alive. He's now. He's the I am. He is now. He's everything. He's here. He's always been here. He's never left me, never forsake me. Oh, but someday he's coming. He's coming for them ones that didn't believe in him. He's coming for the ones that rejected him to show them. And that's going to be a great bloodbath. Do you realize that? The great wine press of God. The blood's going to go to the horse's bridle. And everybody's saying, oh boy, praise God, he's coming. He's not coming back to be spit upon. He's not coming back to have his beard plucked. He's not coming back to bow down to the theology of this day. He's coming back for the Jews that rejected him. He's already came for you and I. We're the sons of God. He's already come to us. Or you're crazy to serve him. Come on now. If he promised 2,000 years ago to go over there and tarry until you're endued with power, until you receive, he said, it's expedient, I go back that I could send one back. Now, if you don't believe that he done that, then you're crazy to call yourself a Christian. Go join the Muslims or the Buddhists. Get one of them big fat belly dudes and rub his belly, man. Burn a candle in his mouth. Suck some incense up your nose. Do something. But let me tell you, my God's word is real. He said that to go until you're endued with power, and they were endued with power, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and it was the manifestation of the sons of God walking in the earth. Amen. Amen. The salvation. Amen. The resurrection. We're children of the resurrection. We're children of light. We're eternal. Well, but Brother Rob, I'm really trying to find salvation and find a life. Well, you're here. You just met him. Hang out with me, and you'll have all things that pertain unto life. You say, well, preacher, you think too. I'm not thinking highly of myself. I'm thinking highly of what he done. Amen. Everything glorifies and magnifies him. It's him and him alone. Amen. There is no other God except him. It's Jesus. Amen. Well, what do you keep saying about yourself? I'm one with him. Amen. I'm in him. He's in me. Amen. You can't do me wrong. You do him wrong. I can't do you wrong. I do him wrong. You got to come to the revelation that we're predestined in him. We're not predestined in this mind. We're not predestined in this understanding. We're predestined in him. And when you get in him, you got his mind. What is his mind? The mind of Christ. What does the mind of Christ think? It's not robbery to be equal with God. You saying, Brother Rob, I can be equal with God? Well, he said when he was here walking among men, he said, greater things shall you do than what I've done. You say, well, But Brother Rob, man, he took a man that was sitting there lame and raised him up. So did Peter. Come on now. You know, Brother Rob, man, he took spittle and put it on a man's eyes and dirt and mud and stuff and created eyes and this and that. I'm doing the same thing. You see, tonight I'm preaching a message, and we might, you say, everybody in here has got eyesight, Brother Rob. I said, are you sure? Some people are listening and they're hearing in an intellectual concept, but they don't have ears to hear beyond the veil of human flesh and hear what the Spirit of God is expressing tonight. And you could say, oh, I hear you. I know what you're saying. I've done heard this before. But maybe it has never struck that ear of that inner quickening of that spirit. That's that day star in the heart that when it strikes, it comes and brings forth light that outshines the noonday sun. It's not an intellectual knowledge of quoting the things that a great preacher said or what the Word of God said. It is a revelation of life and light and power and salvation. And it comes forth. You understand what I'm saying? We can't make believe. We can't hypocrite around through hypocrisy. This is a life. It's a manifestation. It's a revelation. That's what it is. And we got to believe this. We got to become one with this. We got to walk in all authority and all power. We got to speak the words of profession in power and strength of Christ. Do you realize what I'm saying? The seven sons of Sceva, I say this often. I adjure you, Satan, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Spirit speaks back and says, hey, Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know, but who are you? And they got beat up. What was wrong with what they said? You see, this isn't some lip service, brethren. This isn't some retention of scriptures. And we say, oh, I'm a son of God. Oh, I can't sin. I pass from death unto life. You can say all that and go to hell. But there's something that's got to become a real and alive in you. That it's the spirit of living waters coming forth from your innermost being. It shows up in your worship. When the song leader says, somebody worship the Lord. Well, come on, brother, lift up your hands. There's something flowing out. And you just want to worship. And you want to praise. And you want to rejoice. And you want to say, thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. And you want to love people. You want to lead people. You want to help people. You don't want to step on them. You don't want to destroy them. You don't want to use them for a stepping stone to step up to another place. You want to lift them up. You want to bandage them up. You want to pray with them. You want to help them. You want to love people into the kingdom. You're not going to find nobody worthy in their own self, in their own labors. It's only in the labors of Him. And if you believe in the labors of Him, that He looked down to the uttermost, then you'll love them and pull them out of the mire. Amen. And bring them into the kingdom. It's the works of Christ. It's what He done for me. If I can't believe He'll do that for you, then I ain't got it myself. If I realize that I'm the least in the kingdom, then I know if He done that for me, I could know for sure that He'll do it for you. If He took me out of my perversion and my filth and my wretchedness and my ungodliness and my worldly lust and all the things of this world, and He took me out and loved me and cleansed me and washed me and made me whole, then He could do that for you. Amen. And I want to do that for you because He done that for me. And if I can't do that for you, then I don't have Him. Because if He's in me, the thing He done for me is what I'll do for you. And if I can't do it for you, then I never got it for me. Do you realize that? That goes right along with the message I said. I don't know who I am because I don't know who they are. And if I can't love you, I'll never know the love of God. If I can't forgive you, I'll never find the forgiveness of God. Now if we go back to the Beatitudes and closing thought. If you read everything, there was an action right there on your part to manifest or vindicate. You say, what is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's the revealing of those blessings right there. Amen. Blessed are ye. Huh? Blessed. Why are you blessed? Because of Him. Amen. Okay, but how do I know that I'm blessed to Him? Because of these things that we do. How else are they going to know good works? Are people going to believe in Jesus just because I said He was their God? Or do they need to see Him? We got to bring Him to life. The manifestation. What is the revelation of Jesus Christ? It's the revealing of Christ. The hope of glory. The hope of glory. The hope is in us. And we got to bring it to them. And we're the manifestation of the sons of God. Beloved, now you are the sons of God. Okay, one more time. I'm going to go right down here starting in verse 3. Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Oh, but I just want to go have a good time and shout and I want to go to the theme parks and the clubs, and I want to do this and that. And, you know, that's just a manifestation. You're going to hell. But then yet, blessed are they that mourn. You mean I got to just go around, oh, poor me, and this and that? Is that what it's saying here? What is it saying, brethren? We got to get a hold of the scriptures. You that are seeking for fleshly provisions and desires, and you call joy when you're having a good time in your flesh, you're dead. You'll never know this kingdom. You'll never know the comfort. This comfort right here is the comforter of the Holy Ghost. We find repentance and mourning right here to bring this comforter. Come on now. The poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Come on now. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Do people speak like this against you? Maybe you're not God's spirit then, because he said that if you had a spirit, this is what would happen. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. He said, you already read this. I want you to get this in your spirit. I want this to become one with you. And realize who you are. When you realize who you are, you'll win souls into the kingdom of God. Let's stand together. I appreciate you, brethren. Let's be real with the word. You want the strength and the power of the Holy Ghost in your life? Come before him in weakness, and he'll give you power. If you want wisdom and understanding, come before him in a mind of the least and unknowing, and he'll find wisdom there. You're not going to impress God with your quotes. You're not going to impress God with your manly wisdom. You're not going to impress God with your intellect. It doesn't work. It doesn't move him. But what impresses him when you fall on your face for him, say, oh God, help me. And when you do that, he'll bring you life and strength and anointing and virtue and power. Amen. He'll bring you everything. We got to be real with God. Come to him in weakness and you'll find strength. Come to him with no understanding and he'll give you all understanding. Amen. He wants to love you, wants to help you, wants to lead you, wants to guide you, wants to lift you up, wants to set you apart for he can draw men unto him. He'll lift you up to draw men unto him. Amen. To draw unto him. Not you. But when men are drawn to you, there's a problem there. He'll cut you off. You can't have that. When you get raised up in power and you start testifying about your power, he'll cut you off. When he anoints you to preach the gospel and you get up and say, oh boy, I showed them, he'll cut you off. And you'll have nothing. Be just a sounding brass and a tingling cymbal. Always magnify him. Always glorify him. You know, I've watched people struggle to receive what God has for them. They struggle and they think that they could do some fleshly thing or something to make this manifestation or this vindication or this gift or this exercise of this gift. And I watch them struggle. I remember when I first came into the Pentecostal realms and they were teaching that the infilling of the Holy Ghost was the evidence of speaking in tongues. What I didn't realize that I'd already been filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, God filled me with the power. I was walking in power, brethren. He filled my spirit and he gave me the power. I got away from tobacco, cursing and alcohol, and I walked away from those things and I broke fellowship with my friends in the world. God had done something. The Holy Ghost had come into my life. But my Pentecostal brother saying, you ain't got the Holy Ghost. We ain't heard you speak in tongues. And I'd be in church with a guy smelled like cigarettes and tobacco so much, but he was talking in tongues. They said, hey, he's got the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something, brethren. I'd go into every altar service at every camp meeting and every missionary thing, and I went in there and they'd be yanking on me, pulling on me, tugging on me, saying, come on, boy, and they'd be slapping me on the chin and come on, man, you can do it. And they're pushing this and that. And one night I was laying in bed asleep and there was an angelic language flowing through me. It woke me up. Boy, that was a struggle. It woke me up and this language is just flowing through my spirit. You say, oh man, you finally got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. No, you don't understand. You don't understand. You see, I'm not against the doctrine about speaking in tongues, brethren. But I'm telling you what, there's too many tongue-talking devils that the Holy Ghost has never entered into them. They got some kind of intellectual thing and some kind of a goosebump and some kind of thing flowed down on top of them. And they spoke and rambled or something and they said, oh, I got the Holy Ghost. If again, I'll say this, if that is your vindication of the Holy Ghost, I feel sorry for you. Let me tell you something. My vindication of the Holy Ghost is just like he said, go there until you're endued with power. And let me tell you, it's the power to love. It's the power to bind. It's the power to hold marriages. It's the power to conquer alcohol. It's the power to put drugs under your feet. It's the power, brothers and sisters. That's what it is. I want the Holy Ghost. What do you want? You know, if the Holy Ghost is running around the church, then start running. If you think that's what it is, start running. Man, I'll clap every time you go behind and say, go get him, brother. And I'm hoping somewhere in the midst of that it catches up with you and jumps on you and gets you. And if you're going to run around the church, run towards the Holy Ghost, not from Him. I'm not against running around the church. If it makes you feel better, run. If you want to jump, jump. If you want to shout, shout. Amen. But you could leave with your voice, vocal cords gone and every muscle sore and not have the Holy Ghost. Well, brother, I want the Holy Ghost. Amen. He's been talking to you all night. Seek and you shall find. Ask and you shall receive. You see, I've heard that all my life, man, but I want the Holy Ghost. Amen. We'll start believing with your asking. And you start believing, amen. And He'll fill you with the Holy Ghost, amen. I mean, the Holy Ghost was in me tonight, through me. I felt it coming forth. I felt it coming in. I felt it moving. I felt it coming in, going out. I felt it coming up and going down, amen. He's all over. He's at the highest height and the deepest depth. Where do you find Him at? He's here and He's been here all the time. Just receive Him. Let go. They sing a song, let go. Let God have His wonderful way. Little sister was trying to get faith to get a baby and expecting everything and trust and believe. And she gets a little baby and she gets a baby. And now with all the tension and the pressure of trying to make this thing happen, she gets a little baby and then all of a sudden now baby comes. See, that's what we got to do. That's rest. It's peace. But we start trying, oh, I got to make this happen. I got to get a healing. I am a healing. I'm not seeking after healing. Healing is, you know, it's the children's bread. I'm the bread of life. I'm the healing. You're the bread of life, brothers and sisters. So what are you looking for? You say, well, I'm looking for the Holy Ghost. Well, you say, but God's here? Yes, He's here. He's in you? Oh, He's in you? Oh, is it that simple? And then I got the Holy Ghost, you say. Well, there's a lot of people who said, I believed in my heart and confessed with my mouth, and I don't see the Holy Ghost there. Holy Ghost brings you upright and you're walking in the power and the authority and you got a sound mind and you're speaking by the power and authority of the Word of God. Amen. All right, let's sing a song and we'll close. I love you.
When I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me up with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how He picked me up and turned me around.
If you leave here tonight destitute,
how He set my feet,
powerless, sorrowful,
on solid ground, it makes me wanna
shout,
I can say, hallelujah,
the Lord.
Thank you,
He's
Jesus.
Here. He's got everything,
Lord,
here for you. He's holding nothing back from you. Everything is here that you need tonight.
And all the honor.
Just ask Him. Say, Lord God, I want more of you. I want you to fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your love. Fill me with your
hallelujah.
Power. Oh, Lord God, take the bitterness.
Thank
take the hate.
You,
take the anger. Take the animosity.
Lord,
take all of the vengeance and the envy and the strife and the jealousy away from me, Lord God. Fill me with your love. Fill me with your gentleness and kindness and meekness and your humility. Fill me with your spirit. Fill me with your power. Fill me with your anointing. Oh, Lord, I love you. I praise you. I worship you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's the word, brother. That's the power of the anointed word. Just let him give it to you.
Say, here I am, Lord God. I receive
everything that pertains
to
my life and salvation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I feel the power of his salvation. Thank you, Lord God. I feel the deliverance of his word. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.
It makes me want to shout. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me up with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost.
Shut him up. Let me speak something to you real promptly. I didn't bring judgment on a man when I spoke from the sacred desk on Wednesday night, but I spoke a man's name. I said, some of you questioned when I laid hands on him over here, and I told you that he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And I had numerous people question me. I spoke a word of faith to his father. I said, what you been wanting, still see. Now see, you say, well, if that's true, Brother Rob, I know what you teach about the vindication of the Holy Ghost. It's going to bring power and authority. Let me tell you something, brethren, about the infilling of the Holy Ghost. The infilling of the Holy Ghost is power, but if you reject and deny, you're going to bring the chastening of the Lord. I could take and read it to you in the scriptures that he said that one will come and baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Fire chastens and cleanses. And I said right here from the sacred desk Wednesday night, I said, brethren, I'm going to tell you something. I said, the judgment is on him. Did I say that? Y'all remember me saying that? I said, let me tell you something. There's going to be one of two things. This boy is going to bring forth and yield forth the fruit or the judgment. And I went on to say that it could even bring the judgment to what you would say to shorten the number of a man's days and a man be taken off the scene. Okay? Doesn't change the fact that a man received the Holy Ghost right there and he might go out and off the scene. He's the giver of life. I spoke that in at the very time I was speaking that here on Wednesday night. And I was speaking that he was probably being incarcerated. The very time I'm speaking what I just said. I don't know what time it happened, but that very night he was arrested and he's in jail right now. Somebody give Jesus a hand. Come on now, brethren. And you say, that's because you spoke that. No. That's not why. When I spoke it, I did get a check in my spirit. I said, oh my, I've had that happen before. I said, I shouldn't have spoke that because it'll come to pass. The thing is it was a word from God of what he showed me. He already showed me this 2 days before that. He already showed me this. As a matter of fact, I think I spoke it to Brother Bob. I said, you're going to see some things take place. And I spoke it to his father about 2 or 3 days before that. I said, let me tell you something. It ain't going to be the same for him. He's been out there in the world. He's frolicked and run around and think he's under the grace of God. And this time I said, it's going to be different from this day forward. God chastens them. Now the thing is, I don't know how much time he's going to do. He called me to bail him out of jail. You say, why are you saying this? I'm asking you to pray for the young man. I'm thankful that my God is chastening him. I'm thankful that he's sitting in jail right now, that he might consider his ways. The Bible said on the day of adversity, a man considers way. I would rather see him spend the rest of his life incarcerated in prison and consider God as come out here and live in this world and go to hell. I'm dealing with another man that's got the Spirit of God, and the reason he's got the Spirit of God because he was put in prison for his ignorance and his foolishness while he was in the world. What do you want, brother? Do you want to come into the kingdom by obedience or do you want to come in by sacrifice? It's your choice. Brother Pike spoke to a man. He said, brother, he said, you think that you're under the grace of God and that God's just letting you go and letting you go, but he said he's bringing the judgment on you. And he said, when it turns on you and comes on you, just as slow as he brought the judgment on you, he's going to be just as slow to turn the wrath. I read you a scripture right here tonight. What did it say? To pay the othermost farthing. Sometimes when the judgments of God come, you find yourself, okay, God, I've repented, I've turned it around. And he said, no, you're going to pay the othermost price. And you say, well, I believe the blood of Jesus covered that. I can take it over and prove to you in the New Testament doctrine of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can teach you and show you tonight that when you have been born of God and you've tasted of the world to come and been enlightened by this, that there remaineth no more sacrifice for your willful sin. And what you're going to do is pay with the fiery indignation of God on this side. There's no purgatory, brothers and sisters. You cannot say that you're filled with the Holy Ghost and keep on living an ungodly, sinful life. Oh, but Jesus loves me. The queers and the faggots are saying, oh, I'm a Christian. You know, I've accepted Jesus. That's an abomination. Let me tell you, when you get born again and you get saved, you come out of the world and you're walking in righteousness and holiness and power. And you say, oh, you're bringing it to works again, Brother Rob. That's His works. Because when His works of righteousness is in you, it brings forth and produces the fruit of the Spirit. Because we're born of the Spirit. Now we make allowances for little babies. A man come in here and he gets saved just like that man. He comes in here, I lay hands on him, the Holy Ghost goes into him. God will make allowances and help him and work with him. But this is God's way. Put him in jail. Put him in prison. Bust him up. Oh God, don't do that. He said He chastens them that He loves. He said you're better off to cut off your hand. We just read it tonight. You're better off to pluck an eyeball out of your head if your eye offends you. You mean to tell me God won't take a limb? God won't take an eye? Then why did He put in His word? Oh, that's not literal. Well, what else isn't literal to you in that word? I'll tell you this, thus saith the Lord. Listen to me. God would rather see a man lose his hand and make it into the kingdom maimed as go into hell with both of his hands. That's the word of God. And that's exactly what He is. But He doesn't want to take your hand. He wants you to come in worshiping and praising Him with your hands lifted up and praising God. That's what He desires of you. But if you're going to walk in willful sin and you're going to walk in disobedience and defy Him and defile Him, you will bring chastening of the Lord. How much do you love God? How much do you love people? Would you pray that God takes somebody off the planet today if they would shorten their days and make it in? Would you do that? Would you do that, brethren? Come on now. Are you doing that, Brother Rob? I didn't say I was doing that. I didn't say you should do that. I said, but would you do that? If you understood the revelation of the things of God, would you say, Lord, I'd rather you take my son, my daughter, my brother, my wife, or whatever, as them going to eternal damnation? That's love, brethren. God gave His own begotten Son that we could have life. And you say, well, brother, that's what you need to come to the revelation of. And Jesus already paid for it and done it. Yes, He did. I teach that, I preach that, but I don't trample His blood under my feet. I teach that and I bring a manifestation of that now. We got to bring a manifestation of that now. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, you're full of power. You're full of power to tread on again on the scorpions and the serpents, to take up the serpents. Are you a snake handling church? That's what we're doing right now. We're taking that serpent around the neck and we're taking authority over him and saying, I got all authority over you, Satan. I got authority over those things. I got authority over the things of this world. Amen. Go home and read Galatians 5 again tonight. I've read it to you 1,000 times. Go read it to you. There is a manifestation of the Spirit of God. And when you've got the Spirit of God, these things are going to be in you. You're going to have love and joy. You're going to be long-suffering, patient, gentle. You're going to be kind. You're going to overcome drunkenness. You're going to overcome evil surmising and filth and perversions of the flesh. Praise God, amen. Hallelujah. You love Him? I'm sorry, I got to preaching again. Brother Beachy's going to close us out this evening. Let's sing one more song, brother. Pray for Brother Joe. He's our little brother. Drugs is an evil thing. Drugs, these young people get caught up on drugs. They lose their wives, they lose their families, they lose their children. He's lost his children now. The social worker come in and has taken his children away from him. The girl he was wanting to marry, they took her children away from her now. This is what happens when you have the love of the world in you. And I'm asking you to pray for them. I'm asking you to let God help them. And he had to knock them down that they could repent. And you said, well, Brother Rob, if what you say that the boy got the Holy Ghost, there's no need to repent. Blessed are the repentant in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Jesus in the foreknowledge of God. Jesus before the foundation's world was crucified, but he came back and brought it to fruition in the world today. Read the word, understand the scriptures. We are the manifestation of the sons of God. The world don't see us of what we already are, but they're going to. Amen. God bless you. I love you.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophy, North Carolina 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.